Well, good morning, everyone, or good day, or good afternoon, or good evening, or whatever it happens to be where you are right now. I'd like to thank you for being here with me. I am so very happy to be with you. It's Thursday morning, 7 o'clock, May the 7th. At least that's what time it is where I am right now. It's hard to believe. 1 week of May is gone. Before we know it, it'll be the 4th of July, then Thanksgiving, then Christmas, and then, well, hopefully, Lord willing, we'll be back here should he see fit. Certainly, what is preferable by far is the Lord's return. Are you praying for that? I hope you are. That's the first and greatest prayer of the church. Come, Lord Jesus, come. But otherwise, he has placed you where you are for a good reason, and that is to be a reflection of him. To spread the good news of Jesus Christ, to enjoy him. You know, right now is a foretaste of eternity. We'll talk more on that later, but are you enjoying the Lord? Is the good news of Jesus Christ really good news to you? Are you characterized by joy? I'd like to say that I've mastered this, but sadly, I can't. In fact, there are some days when I'm just plumb worn out. Maybe you are too. Some days where I'm discouraged. Fried has kind of been my go-to descriptor for the last several days. And while it's okay for us to feel strain, stress, and all of those things, it should be our joy in Christ that ultimately pulls us back and leads us to an attitude of gratitude. I know that sounds corny, right? Attitude of gratitude. But there is something to do it. If you have an attitude of gratitude, it not only changes your outlook on life, but it is also infectious. You know, I can't go back and fix all the times when I have not been grateful, when thankfulness has not been on display for me, and you can't either. But we can work together on going forward the right way. And one of the ways to do this is to remember why we ought to be grateful, why we ought to thank God, to praise God. And I got a great call about this yesterday, somebody asking me, what's the difference between thankfulness and praise? And the reality is that they go hand in hand. One leads to the other. You're not going to praise God if you are not thankful. Yet at the same time, there is more to praising God than simply displaying or giving our thanks. So, again, why praise God? Well, that's been the focus of this week's daily devotionals. First, we saw that we should praise God because he alone is worthy. Next, we saw that we should praise God because of all his benefits to us in Christ Jesus. And yesterday, we saw, hopefully at least, that we should praise God because of the freedom that we have in Christ. That in Christ, we have forgiveness of sins and our guilty consciences can be relieved. And also, we have newness of life and purpose. Now, again, remember, as we're going through these things, we're not going in a particular order or anything. This is not a hierarchy where we're building up to number one reason why we should be grateful or why we should praise God or working our way down from number one. Instead, my goal is to provoke thought, to encourage you, to help you see something you might not have seen, or at the very least, to help you gain a little focus on what is important and on why you are doing what you are doing. And as it relates to this week, I want to help you see why praising God is so important. And tomorrow we're going to talk about exactly what it means to praise God. How do you praise God? And again, maybe I should have started with that first and foremost. Nevertheless, we're here together. Y'all have to bear with me on these things. So, this right now, why is it important to praise God? To that end, let's turn to a passage that I have no doubt is familiar to many of you. Right, I'm sure that a lot of y'all know this. Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. In fact, some of you probably don't even technically need to turn to it because you have memorized it already. But even so, I would encourage you to do so. So if you have your Bibles, remember Psalms. If you just open it right up in the middle, probably you're going to get to the book of Psalms. And today, don't be frightened. I'm reading from the King James. All right, it's okay. Why? Well, because some passages just warrant reading from the King James, and y'all, this is one of them. All right, so that's what we're doing. Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. This is what it says, and I'm going to turn to it too. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So, why should we praise God? Y'all, I'm not going to complicate things. We're not going to get into boring textual analysis or literary criticism, anything like that. Instead, just think about what we read. The Lord is our shepherd. Now, again, it's kind of like when I preached on Psalm 46 several weeks ago. The hour is important here because the hour is indicative of those who actually belong to the Lord, to those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. So that's who this is talking about. We'll come back to that in a little bit. But realize what this is saying. When it says the Lord is our shepherd, it's saying in the same way that God is perfect in everything, perfect in everything that he is, perfect in everything that he does, this means that he is our perfect shepherd. Jesus calls himself the good shepherd in John 10, after all. Same idea here. He isn't mediocre. He doesn't just get the job done. He doesn't clock in and clock out. God functions as our perfect shepherd. And as such, thinking about what is described later in the text, thinking about what shepherds actually did when this was written for this sheep, being the perfect shepherd means that, first off, God provides fully. He provides everything. And he provides to the level described in verse 1, to the level that we shall not want. We shall not want for sustenance, for safety, not for peace, not for blessings, not for eternity. I shall not want. Y'all, how much easier would life be if we remembered this short little phrase? Think about it. When trouble comes, when discouragement hits, when you're puzzled, when you're scared, when you're worried, when you're regretful, when you're needy, how much simpler would life be if we stopped and instead of winning to one of those parties, whether it's the blame game or whether it's the pity party, or and there's so many ways, whether it's sinking into depression, how much easier would life be if we stopped in the midst of our struggles and remembered, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, that changes everything, doesn't it? And then the rest of Psalm 23 just goes on to describe how God functions as our perfect shepherd. Verse 2 says that he provides for us physically with green pastures, with quiet waters. Verse 3 says that God functions for us, provides for us spiritually, emotionally, because verse 3 says that God restores our soul. He leads us in paths of righteousness. And he does it for his name's sake. That means that God even makes us a part of something bigger than ourselves, because it is for him, for his name's sake. Verse 4 says that we don't have to live in fear because the good shepherd even walks us through the valley of the shadow of death itself. You know, whenever I'm given the opportunity to preach a funeral service, and I did this most recently for Mary Lou Gordon's service, again, she picked out her own text, and Psalm 23 was one of them. But I remark at every service that I do that death is fascinating to us as a society, because as uncouth as we are, I mean, we'll talk and we'll joke about anything. This is the age of the internet, right? We'll talk about anything. But there is yet one taboo, and it's death. That's the one thing that maybe there's a few jokes about it every once in a while, but people, they shy away from it. Why? Because to a world without Jesus, what is scarier than death? Nothing. Nothing is scarier because it is the great unknown. Unless you know the Lord, unless the Lord is your shepherd. And then, not only does God lead you through the valley of the shadow of death, as this verse says, as a result, we will fear no evil. And y'all, let me tell you something. This is just so true. In my profession, I have been given the grand gift of being with lots of folks at the bedside when they are very close to passing. And the reality is that some of them have known the Lord, and some of them most likely did not. By all indications, they did not. And let me tell you, there is a major difference. And just saying major is not even putting it strongly enough. I've seen the fear. I have been with those in the valley of the shadow of death, and they do fear evil. You can almost smell it when somebody is dying who does not have eternal security. Personally, you know, and this is, I don't have a tie on or I'd take it off because this is just my opinion, but I'm not exaggerating here. I think that you can smell the fear, and it smells like hell on earth. Because I think at the end of someone's life that has continually rejected God, again, this unknown, this despair that is there, it's heartbreaking. It's real. But on the converse, I've been a spectator as the Lord has walked His people through the valley of the shadow of death. And when they know the Lord, y'all, it's so counterintuitive. It doesn't make sense. But there's no fear. Because they don't see it as walking toward death. They see it as going towards home. And the Lord gives grace in those times. And to further enunciate this, right, verse 5 picks up and says that the good shepherd even prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. He anoints your head with oil. Your cup runneth over. Again, how much simpler would life be if we remembered that our cup runneth over? We live the lives of kings and of queens, y'all. Especially if you're watching this in the United States or listening to it, look around you. If you have walls around you, a roof, a floor, if you have electricity, if you have clean water, you are so far advanced beyond so much of the world. And we're just talking about physical stuff, right? Those are just a few reasons your cup runneth over in a physical sense. But spiritually, all this that we've been talking about, not only today, but in all the other devotionals, forgiveness of sins, newness of life, meaning, purpose, the promise of God's presence both now and in eternity. If you know Jesus Christ, y'all, believe me, I'm not trying to belittle your struggles, but your circumstances are temporary. Your cup runneth over, my friend, because everything now is temporary. And again, I'm not trying to belittle your struggles. What you're living through right now may feel a whole lot like hell on earth, but in the scope of eternity, with the surety of God's promises, oh, your cup runneth over if you know Jesus Christ. And on the converse, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't have a personal relationship with Him, and you know you don't, I don't care how good your life seemingly is. I don't care what you've got. I don't care who your friends are. I don't care how big your bank account is. Let me tell you something. Your cup is dry. It's collecting dust. And the only thing that is going to fill it is God's wrath. Fairly and reasonably given for your guilt. This isn't about how good you are, how good I am, how bad you are, and how much better. It's not about all that. I'm sure I'm guilty of worse things than you are, and this is not some self-deprecation thing. The only difference is that I've been forgiven. The Lord is my shepherd because I've placed my faith in Jesus Christ alone. God has given me the gift of faith. That's the only thing that separates us. I've been forgiven. And because of that, I am indwelled by God, by the Holy Spirit. I have newness of life. And I want you to have that too. But more importantly than me, the Lord calls you to repentance. So if you don't know Him, turn to Him today. Have you? Well, if you know you belong to Him, is the ultimate cause for praise. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Y'all, again, what better reason is there for praise than this? Why praise God? Why would you not? The question is, again, do you know Him? And will you remember these things? I can't encourage you enough to do so. And if you don't know Him, turn to Him today. Do not wait. Well, we're out of time. Lord willing, I will be back tomorrow at 7 o'clock, and we'll talk about ways to actually praise God. And so stay tuned for that. But I'd like to thank you again for joining me and being here with me. Again, Lord willing, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank You that You are our shepherd, that as Jesus said, He is the good shepherd, and that no one shall pull us away from You. Father, this isn't because of our strength. It's not because of our fortitude. It's simply because Your grace is so amazing and Your love is so complete, and we are the recipients of this love. We didn't do anything to earn it. We did nothing to deserve it. But Father, we are so grateful. Help us to live lives of gratitude, to turn to You in praise, never forgetting. And Father, for those that are struggling, I pray that You would give grace upon grace. Again, I think of Maddie. Thank You for some of the positive news that we received yesterday, that things seem to be improving. And I pray that You would continue to help her to make small improvements until such a time where full healing comes, if it is in Your will. And Father, no matter what, we ask that You would give grace and peace and patience and overwhelmingly a sense of Your presence. I pray that not only for Maddie, but for all who are struggling, because we face these struggles. But You know us, Father. You remember how we were framed, that we're dust. And though we are finite creatures, You have given us infinite, eternal souls. And You have given us the promise that we would dwell in the house of the Lord forever, with You as our shepherd. So thank You for Your promise. Thank You for the comfort we have in Jesus Christ alone. And if there are any that do not know You, please draw them to Yourself now. I pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. Well, again, thank you for spending this time with me. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow, Lord willing. Have a great day.